ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you're listening from, thank you very much for tuning in again to episode number 11 of the Frying Pan Podcast. You join us at a slightly, punctuated start to our podcast, and ironically punctuated start to our podcast, given the theme of today's podcast, which will be the Spanish language. And basically, we aim to start at our usual 2:30 time, but due to my, want for knowledge of more technical terms in Spanish, it was impossible to put the cleaners off for half an hour, and instead hastened their arrival by half an hour. So we join you at a slightly later time for us than is normal, but it's good to have you aboard. So I'm joined, as always, by fellow writer and friend of mine, Rowan Kane. Rowan, how are you doing there?
I'm a little concerned, Lou. Because I have absolutely no memory of what I had for lunch today. It has completely slipped my mind what I ate, where I ate. I sat down for dinner today and thought to myself, this seems like something I've had recently. And it is something I had recently. It's something I had for dinner last night. But I might have also had it for lunch, or I might not have had it for lunch. I really don't remember. So I'm at a loss for words.
It's very interesting, actually, because I was actually talking about that this weekend, that also my brains have started sort of becoming mush, which I'm not sure exactly why. I always used to be quite sharp, but it seems like of late I'm definitely getting stupider, or just sort of losing very basic and crucial memories from like recent events, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And I put this to my mother, who said it might be because I don't speak English as much anymore. Which it would be an interesting point to touch upon here in this podcast, as we're
Interesting parallel. I'm not sure how that works. It might be two parts or part of the same brain. I don't know. I trust your mother on this. So yes, it is because you're not speaking enough English.
It could be. Yeah. It could be.
Yeah. So we're talking about your language this week, correct, Lou? We're talking about not your language, but your adopted language, Spanish.
Or my attempted adopted language, Spanish.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you, let's just rewind really quickly to what just happened there. When you were speaking to the cleaning ladies, what actually happened?
I tried to explain that the cleaning needed to be done in half an hour, giving us time to record the podcast. And I know most of the sort of basic terminology for how to organize this problem. However, clearly what I managed to do was to hasten the arrival of the cleaning by half an hour rather than have it done in half an hour. This, I believe, was one due to a wrong preposition somewhere in there, and also the gerund of the verb to clean, cleaning, was clearly wrongly placed as well. But it was very nice. I got introduced to Paki and Carmen, who Paki is a name here. It's not the racial slur that it is in everyone else in the world. It's with a Q and with an I after it. So I think there's a U in there as well. So it doesn't bear any resemblance to the sort of EDL-themed racial slur of the same phonic in other countries. Anyway, Paki, who is Spanish, and Carmen came in and did the cleaning, which was very good of them because the classroom is disgusting. And we talked away a little bit about all things Spanish, and I deduced that Paki's daughter is a very, very attractive girl in this town.
Renowned for her beauty?
I don't talk about it a lot with other Spanish people, but I would say, if I had to hazard a guess.
So this drives at my first question, which is, you went to Spain with zero knowledge of the Spanish language, correct?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, obviously I knew how to say yes and no, and everything that The Simpsons, the Bumblebee Man and The Simpsons sort of did. But that was really about it, yeah.
Okay, and how far have you come since then? What is your knowledge? Obviously, it's not as fluent as we'd like, as this cleaning lady anecdote pretty well articulates. But how would you aptly demonstrate? How would you rate your Spanish language skills
in comparison to everyone else's English skills? I would say it's pretty fucking good, actually. However, there is still several sort of layers missing, if that kind of makes sense. I find myself I'm almost able to understand everything people say except what the town drunks say, because that is not a language. The Spanish in this particular town is divided between the younger generation and the town drunks. The town drunks do not speak Spanish. They speak another... the same as many drunks in many countries speak a kind of creole of their... a pastiche, one would say, of their own original language that is broken down to its most basic elements, and vowels, prepositions, connecting clauses are replaced with grunts or facial expressions. Anyway, this is what they do. So them, I don't understand a fucking thing. Nothing. I mean, like, zero words. Everyone else, I understand very well. However, the cognitive capacity it takes to follow a conversation at the lightning speed that Spanish people speak results in... it's quite hard to kind of keep up with the conversational part of it.
Yeah. Well, as long as the old drunken men are still giving you fruit, I think that's really what matters. That's what really matters, mm-hmm. right?
That's what they're for.
Yeah. So we're not going to go into the origins or the patterns of Spanish, because I think most people know it. Like we had to do with Indonesian last week. But what is the kind of Indonesian that's spoken in Andalusia? Is it close to what's spoken in Madrid? Is it what's the kind of dialect that's spoken? Could you call it a dialect, or is it just an accent?
I think it is a strictly speaking an accent. They're very quick to say that obviously Spain is that has four or five official languages, and it's all a bit controversial because some of these people not only hate the Spanish kind of state, but also are actively, have acts of demonstrable violence against it, such as ETA, and at the moment the Catalans are trying to go as well. And they have their own language, which is actually quite different from standard Spanish. People in Andalusia are very quick to say, like, we speak Spanish, which is Castellano, Castilian Spanish. However, if you go to Castile, they think that the people down here do not speak anything close to Castilian Spanish, and I'd probably be inclined to agree with them. The best analogy I can give to the Anglophone listener is, if you imagine going to a country and learning the language, but learning it in a very regional place. So, for example, moving to Britain and learning all of your English in Dundee, for example, or moving to America and learning all of your English in Alabama without having spoken any English before, results in, yeah, it's like a very, very strong accent. And Andalusia, of all of the Spanish-speaking parts of Spain, has, like, by far the strongest accent in all of the peninsula.
And can you yourself differentiate between the accents already, or is that not something you've kind of caught on with yet?
I can very much differentiate from the accent here and the accent up north.
Okay.
The accent up north is it's very, very different, and it sounds like they're speaking another language. It is actually incredibly different, in the same way that maybe someone from Glasgow and somebody from Brighton are going to have speak effectively English, but have it the different ways. It always comes from this bit of, like, the capital city always kind of looks down on all the other parts. So when Andalusians go to Madrid, Madrileños, or people from Madrid sort of claim that they cannot be understood, they can't understand the Andalusians much in the same way as, like, the kind of Scottish day tourist to London. And this sort of thing. The Scottish Jakey in London is effectively speaking English, but in a way that is unintelligible for a snooty Londoner, for example. However, when people from the north come here, they are understood completely fine. There is no problem.
Okay. And how are you dealing with the speed? Because Spanish is, you mentioned it, Spanish is spoken at a pretty rapid pace. And are you able to articulate yourself in a decent speed? I know comprehension is always difficult when you're trying to pick stuff up. But yeah, how are you dealing with the speed?
The speed is, I think, sometimes depending on the company I'm with, like, they'll speak to me as one would speak to a child or somebody with learning difficulties, for example. Which is very good of them, because when they go full out kind of machine gun like, it is very difficult to follow. And I can respond in, like, not bad time. And if I'm a bit steaming, I'm totally on the ball. I can fire it out, like, machine gun style. Not totally steaming, maybe between, like, sort of the 3 to 6 beer mark.
3 to 6 then, little beers, three to six small beers, 3 to 6 pints.
I buy the British style can here, just because the small ones are very small and you go through them too quickly. I usually buy the kind of near the 500 milliliter. It reminds me of home.
Yeah, I think I'm fluent in Spanish after a few beers. So I think that's a universal thing. I'm definitely fluent in French after a couple glasses of wine. So, yeah.
It's, I think a lot of the whole language thing, a lot of it is about having the balls to just have a go. And fundamentally, like, situations in life, like, life's in general, pretty drab. And situations are never that complicated. To, you know, there's never going to be, like, some fucking nuts situation that I'm going to have to explain with, you know, like, an asteroid is going to hit this town and we need to evacuate the place. It's, you know, that shit doesn't happen. What does happen is I need to buy, like, lettuce, or I need to fucking get some more beer, or I need to pick up some cigarettes or something. So it's, like, not a big deal. And then, yeah, after a few drinks, you know, it's really starts to flow. But then on the other hand, after the kind of blackout zone, then it really stops, if that makes sense there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that does make complete sense. Mm. So would you say that because you're in a town where no one speaks English, mm-hmm. that has facilitated your learning of the Spanish language? Has it helped that you can only speak Spanish to other people there? I mean, this is an obvious question, an obvious answer, but how much has it helped for you to live in a place where no one else speaks English?
Oh, totally. Like, I mean, it's the defining factor of this whole experience is the fact that I speak way less English than I do Spanish, which may or may not be contributing to my, like, mental sort of breakdown. Not breakdown is the wrong word. You know, coming apart of my brain. Yeah, it's quite easy in the cities to not speak any Spanish. Spain's quite a popular destination for Anglophones. You can hang out in Irish bars and join, like, a British football team or whatever, you know, and it's you don't really have to even bother speaking Spanish if you live in Seville. And indeed, some of my colleagues who have been here for quite a while, they actually don't really speak any Spanish, despite the fact that they have been here for many years. And it's just they live in cities, and it's you don't have to do so much.
How's Colin Spanish?
Oh, his is brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Well, he studied it, didn't he?
Well, he did sort of study it on his own a bit. He benefits a lot from kind of living with a girlfriend who is Spanish and speaks both Spanish and English fluently. That would be, I think that's actually kind of where I got, because I really took off when I came here. I was within a month like absolutely brilliant for a month of Spanish, and then I kind of plateaued once it got to a certain point where I couldn't really be bothered anymore, like kind of going the next level and learning about other things. However, I think if I was getting my hole, like, and like regularly shagging like a very attractive Spanish lady, then that would be the impetus that I need to go to that next level. Yeah.
Yeah, to bump it up a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I have a grammar book, and sometimes if I have an hour free, I try to study the grammar book. But like an hour of studying grammar on your own would sort of pales into insignificance to an hour. Well, I do myself credit there, but an hour of kind of debauchery, shagging, whatever.
I think, a lot of credit to us all. Or disservice to the rest of us if you're saying you go for an hour.
I mean, we can say like an hour spread over 3.5 weeks.
If there you go.
That's quite
that
a
sounds
bit
about
more.
Right. That sounds about right.
But yeah, fundamentally, like the kind of intensive course of Spanish, the best way to do it would be to have a Spanish girlfriend, I think. And then you're fucking made.
Right, but then I think you just hear like, see a lot, or adios mio, or something like that, something along those lines. I feel like you'd be very repetitive.
Mm. Then again, you could look into the present perfect, like, have you finished already? That's two. Or did
well
it happen
played.
Again? Past simple. So, I mean, you're looking at quite a variance of linguistic barriers, actually, in the world of the world of, you know, romance. Anyway,
how do you say? How do you say? Is that it?
I think you'd probably say ya está, which is like that's it. And if you made an inflection at the end, like ya está, it would be like, is that it?
Yeah.
I think that would be that would.
Yeah.
And response would be like, sí, ya está.
Sí. Lo siento.
Lo siento. Un otra vez. Yeah. Again. So.
Yeah.
But that would be the way to do it, I think.
So along similar lines to that, have people been, are people impressed that Anglo-Saxon fellow such as yourself has picked up the Spanish language and is somewhat fluent, or there enough? Is it like not that strange of a thing for a English or a British person to be fluent?
Yeah, I mean, I guess around here, like most of the Brits they see are the kind of holidaying Brits who really don't speak any Spanish, and I think it's at least funny for the residents of this town because I do have quite a strong accent in Spanish because I didn't speak any beforehand. I don't really know. So it is like, going, meeting your friend and your friend speaks English in New York, but with a very strong Alabama like drawl. There were like plenty of people in Scotland that I knew kind of who'd moved, like Eastern European people, and they'd learned all their English in like Dundee or Edinburgh or Glasgow. And then they'd have like quite a strong Scottish accent, but spoke English very well. But like they fundamentally would be like, it would be quite confusing. And a lot of people do ask me, like, where are you from if I go to other places in Spain? Because they think like, okay, your Spanish is okay. And it's like, not bad at all, but your accent is fucking mental. Like, it's all over the place.
I was just going to say, I remember one Polish dude, Pav, who worked security with me, who learned his English in Glasgow and had the thickest Glaswegian accent you'll find, but like also had a Polish accent. And it was just hilarious to hear him talk.
Yeah, it's always like a bit of a laugh. But in terms of like learning standard Spanish, like here is maybe not the place to do it. To give you a good example of this is obviously Spanish movies are dubbed into Spanish usually, even if they're an American movie. And I was watching, Django Unchained recently. And obviously in the the words of the white people are dubbed into Castilian Spanish. And I mean, this is quite endemic of like quite a large scale problem in Spain overall. But the kind of like Creole slave language that they had in both Django Unchained and also in 12 Years a Slave, which I watched quite recently, is like the country accent, which is from here. The kind of like, yes, massa, I'd be obliged to go that. That's what they translate into this kind of thing. So like the kind of stereotypical kind of English Creole from the 18th and 19th century Southern America is translated directly into what they call Low Andalus here, which is what they speak here.
So last question. Are you, like, known about town? This isn't really about Spanish language, but I'm just interested. Are you, like, known about your town there as, like, do people know you? Do people recognize you? I would imagine they do because there's only so many people there, and you're the only white guy.
I'm the only sort of, well, maybe white's the wrong word. But
right, yeah, I was going to say,
No, like, certainly the most pale guy, like quite a long way. There's really nobody kind of coming close to that. Like, when the whitewashed houses are darker than you, there is certainly questions to be asked about your heritage. Nonetheless, yeah, I am known as, like, I'm also a foot and a half taller than most people here, which the sort of Southern Spanish are quite small. For Europeans, they're actually pretty small. Like, there's not many guys over 6 foot, for example, and I'm 6'3", so it's quite a, people do love a stare. It's but yeah, I think it's like a friendly stare now, as opposed to like, once they realize that I almost have zero chance with their daughters, there's no need to lock their daughters up. So I think like I've just become like this kind of linguistic vending machine that is here to serve the Saxon tongue for the next few months.
Put in a couple coins and you get out a gerund.
Yeah.
So what is your expat experience this week, Lou?
It was actually quite an... I spent the weekend in Malaga, and I actually went to the Costa del Sol for one day to watch the Scotland rugby game, which...
My deepest condolences.
Yeah, actually, I really deserve the condolences for that one. That was... My expat experience
fucking
was actually...
Craig Joubert.
It was a tough break. It was a tough break, and... I decided that I would spend my expat experience actually doing the complete expat experience of many experienced expats who flock to the Costa del Sol, which was fantastic. Well, no, it's a dump, but it's a very interesting dump in that there is no Spanish people there, which is fascinating. And it is like Britain, but in a place that is very, very hot. So if you do... It's very interesting, like, Northern Europeans' attitude to holidays is they don't really want to change anything. They just want to...
It not to be shitty weather.
Yeah, basically. So there was loads of Brits, Dutch, Irish, Germans, a couple of Scandies as well, but, like, everyone was blonde and nobody was Spanish, and they were all sitting around in their, like, various pubs in on the Costa del Sol, and... It is quite weird that you can go to a pub and speak Dutch or English in the south of Spain and people will understand you anywhere.
So speaking about pubs in the south of Spain, I meant to mention this to you before you left, but we are both big Warren Zevon fans.
Mm.
And Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner was written in a bar in southern Spain. Warren Zevon met a mercenary... a former mercenary in a bar that he owned or ran in southern Spain. I forget where, but I think it's actually near Malaga.
Okay.
And wrote one of the greatest songs of all time, Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner.
Yeah, I mean, like, the man had a knack for writing offbeat topic songs, and that is a fantastic song. And anyone that's listening, I recommend as soon as this is over, go on YouTube and have a listen. Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner. It's an absolute tune and a half. I'll look it up, and if I can go there, I certainly will.
You absolutely should.
But yeah, that was me anyway. What about yourself, Rowan?
I have had the expat nightmare of immigration this week.
Great.
It's been an ongoing saga. I believe I've mentioned it, Pat, in past weeks. But basically, what's going on is haven't been able to get a visa extension yet. So they still have my passport at immigration. They're trying to make me pay 2 extra days overstay. So I'll go back and tell the whole boring story here. So pardon me. Basically, my visa expired at the beginning of this month, so October 4th, which was a Sunday. So I went in the Wednesday before to renew my visa. Went in on Wednesday. The system was down.
Mm-hmm.
The entire system was down. So I went back in on Thursday. The system was down again. I called up on Friday. System was still down. So I went in on Tuesday to process my visa, and they processed it. Okay, come back the next Monday. So I came back the next Monday, and because I overstayed, there's a fine. Or I overstayed. Because my visa expired on the 4th, and I didn't come in to process it until the 6th, I had 2 days overstay, 2 days of a fine. So they tried to get me to pay this fine, and I said, no, not so fast. Your system was down. I came in before my visa expired, but I couldn't process it because of your system. And they said, sorry, da-da-da-da. So I was there for about 4 hours. And they said, okay, we'll take down your phone number and we'll call you when your visa's ready. Or we'll call you when we sort it out. So they called me on Monday, my birthday. So I went in the morning on Monday. The system wasn't down, but it was too clogged up to do it. So they said, come back at 2. I came back at 2. The system was down again. So then I went back in yesterday, spent 4 hours there yesterday waiting for them to process it. And because it's been putting the hours in. And because it's been so long since since it was first processed, the system won't accept mine now. So the system's up, but it won't accept my visa payment. So they're calling the capital, they're calling people, but basically I went back in this morning, kind of said, okay, what's going on? They said, okay, give us your phone number and we'll call you when it's ready. So I'm still in a holding pattern over this visa extension, which will be a moot point in a week and a half or two weeks when I leave, but I'll need it before then. So I apologize for the monotony of that expat experience, but that is, I believe, a pretty, maybe not typical, but apropos expat experience.
It's absolutely apropos is the word / two words that sum it up very well.
Is it three?
I don't know.
Yeah.
On that note, with my linguistic knowledge failing as my brain does, I think we'll wrap up there. We can add a new feature of the Frying Pan Podcast quiz is apropos, either a two word or three word expression. Get in touch. Let us know. We know the answer.
Tweet. Yeah. You could tweet Louis at
Talking Soup Magazine or via the website talkingsoup.com. Or you can also tweet the answer to Rowan's Twitter, which is at
RLMKANE, or check out my blog, Semawang Stories, SEMAWANG stories.wordpress.com. Good talking to you this week, Lou. Thanks for sharing everything about the Spanish language that you don't know.
Yeah, it's all rock and roll. It's all rock and roll. And who knows, with the careful application of, well, at the very least, kind of like a shapely form of a woman, I may or may not have some mastery of this language.
Let's hope for Packy's daughter.
Yeah, let's hope for Packy's daughter. We'll leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Rowan, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. See you soon, Lou.
Take care.
To you, Spanish ladies, farewell and adieu. To you, ladies. Spain. For we received orders but to sail for old England, but be hoping a short time to see you.